Hi, everybody. Great question for us today. Hello, Claire. Is there such a thing as a nourishing relationship? I suppose that the questions to ask ourselves could be, who or what is being nourished in this relationship? What really is nourishing for this body-mind system? And how is this relationship helping or not helping this body-mind to flourish? I'd love your feedback on this. Thank you, Claire. P.S. I love the energy course. So glad to hear that, darling. Thank you. Yes, and a brilliant question. Such an important question, because the answer is a resounding yes, of course. There is such a thing as a nourishing relationship. And it's our birthright as humans to have these sorts of relationships. It's our capacity to have them, and it's our requirement, really, to live a full life. So many studies showing the overriding importance of the quality of relationships and social interaction, over, you know, more important than diet or exercise on our happiness and longevity. So yes, it's vital to have nourishing relationships. And there's a huge irony, which on the one hand is tragic when it plays out, but on the other hand, when we see it, it starts to become a true space of freedom and healing that really transforms everything. Excuse me. So the irony is that when a relationship is being used, when the nourishment in a relationship is like being craved because it is looking necessary to affirm this idea of a separate me, to make me feel secure and worthy and important and valuable, when I'm using this relationship and everything that you give me to try to, you know, silence or numb the fears, shames, needs, insecurities of my conditioning, that craving is a bottomless pit. And in that craving, you, other than as the supplier of attention, nice words, acts of kindness that affirm this me, you are completely irrelevant. I don't care less about you. I care about you as a supplier of what it takes to make me feel okay. And so the more I'm craving this relationship, the more I'm destroying it. And this is our problem, isn't it? Because we don't realize that space that the relationship is orientating out of is totally dysfunctional and can never be met, solved in this relationship. The needs can't ever be met. The fears can't ever be assuaged. That sense of lack is always going to be there, well, as long as this dynamic is held in place. Excuse me, I'm just going to cough a minute. Sorry about that. So I've got a nice contrast that has gone on in my life. So by far, one of the most nourishing relationships in my life is with my sister. And it's a relationship where there's just no pretense. There's no, neither of us are trying to be anything. And because we're ourselves in the relationship, and because of that, really, and because the relationship isn't doing anything in terms of creating a sense of separate us, we really can see the other and enjoy the other. And so everything is nourishing. A 5-minute phone call is nourishing, a week-long holiday is nourishing, a text is nourishing. Everything's nourishing because none of it is coming from a space of need. And this is so ironic, isn't it? But when we see it, it sets everything free. The whole thing is nourishing. And because nothing the other does is a reflection on us, the other is really set free. You know, it doesn't matter if they don't want to do something with us. It doesn't matter if they haven't heard from us for a while. It doesn't matter if they decide to go away for a week or a year. We're delighted for them because there's nothing clinging on to their attention, their regard, their kind words. None of it is playing a role in stabilizing a separate me. So the entire relationship is nourishing, every single aspect of it. And yeah, that is our birthright, I would say. And then there's other relationships in my life. So say about the person that I wrote about in It's Not You and It's Not Me. That whole relationship, we could say, was coming from the point of view of you need to stabilize this separate idea of me. You need to make me feel worthy, on my part, not on his, I don't think. You need to make me feel that I'm not lacking. You need to make me feel that I'm attractive. And so from that lens, which is a lens of vigilance, really, it's like trying to seize on anything that is going to affirm me. But actually what it does instead is put all the attention on where there isn't that affirmation. And so everything was sort of a point of devastation, really, in a way, to not get that not get that sense of security of self from the other person's regard. And it's completely a bottomless pit. And it does mean that the other person is completely irrelevant in the relationship. And the things that they want, if those things they want conflict with my needs to be affirmed, then there's rows. And so the craving, absolute craving for nourishment in that relationship, destroyed it, because the other person can't exist in it. It's like we're having a relationship with our own projection. So it's two nice contrasts going on in my life for observation by me. So all the suffering, all the craving, all the confrontations and the conflicts are not really saying anything about the relationship, not really saying anything about the other person. They're just making it obvious that what is in operation right now is a desperate yearning to find home in separation, to find happiness and bliss and calmness through building up and stabilizing an identity, an idea of me as worthy and complete and lovable and worthy of attention. And it can't, yeah. So all the indications are showing that. And that's a healing space. That's a space of our own work. It's saying in neon letters, you won't get what you're looking for from this relationship. It's impossible. Yeah. So I'm going to stop there because my voice is giving out. And thank you so much. Brilliant question. Bye.